very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, there's the Coalition for Medical Marijuana in New Jersey. There are five persons. There's going to be one of the five that's going to speak for a minute and a half. I have Ken Walski, RN, Coalition for Medical Marijuana, in favor. Michael Kessler, in favor with that same coalition. Jason Moore, in favor from that same coalition. Chris Goldstein, and Jim Miller. One of you may come forward and speak for a minute and a half on this bill. Decide amongst yourselves, please. Again, we've heard this bill extensively in committee before. Who's going to, of those five I mentioned? Well, I think it's Chris Goldstein's coming. Goldstein. Well, we'll bring them next. Push the red button, and you have a minute and a half.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you all to the members of this committee for considering medical marijuana with the seriousness of which you have. I'm a radio broadcaster, I'm a marijuana advocate, and I've covered this issue for over a decade. I've interviewed dozens of state and federal legislators, dozens of doctors, and dozens of patients in many of the states that already allow medical marijuana access today. As much as we want to make this a perfect bill, as much as we would like to perfect the language of the Compassionate Use Medical Marijuana Act in New Jersey, I urge you right now to pass the bill this year. And I want you to look at what New Mexico did. Rather than try and define the language right now in this legislation for the alternative care centers, for distribution, for home cultivation, and for the registry card system, what New Mexico did with their bill was include language that left the rules promulgation process to the Department of Health. This is because the Department of Health is going to be overseeing this program anyway. So the rules that we're talking about when you talk about growing at home, when you talk about distribution, when you talk about the registry card system, and even when you talk about the definitions included, were left to the Department of Health and public testimony. New York, Pennsylvania, and Delaware are also considering legislation. Delaware's Senate Health Committee passed forward their bill just this week. Right now in New Jersey, we tell people who want to utilize cannabis therapy, go to jail or move away. That's what we tell people right now. Go to jail or move away. We could wait longer. We could try and perfect this bill further. But then Pennsylvania, New York, or Delaware could have an active medical marijuana program before New Jersey, even though this legislature has considered the bill for over 4 years. So if we keep telling people to move away, they'll just be able to go away one state in the future. And in the meantime, for those of you who may remain immobile on this bill, I hope that you can look these citizens in this room in the eye as you decide to send them to jail. For those of you who sit on the fence and wonder if this is a good idea, I hope that you will recognize that in the year 2009, there has never been a stronger political atmosphere for medical marijuana legislation to pass. For those of you who support this legislation, much like the sponsors, Gusiara and Scutari, champion this legislation. These patients need this bill. People get arrested every single day. We at the coalition hear from them. So please, don't arrest patients anymore. One thing we understand is that jail is not medicine, but marijuana is medicine in 13 states. Let's allow it here in New Jersey.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you. We have representatives from the Drug Policy Alliance, Roseanne Scotti and Charles Kwiatkowski. I imagine, Roseanne, you'll be the one to speak for that
it
group.
It is. It is written submitted.
A minute and a half.
Thank you. Watch the box.
First of all, I would like to thank you, Mr. Chairman, for posting the bill for a vote and thank the members of the committee for allowing me to speak. We very much support this legislation, although I do want to say that we have some serious concerns with some of the amendments. While we understand that it's important to have safeguards in this bill, we also want to make sure that ultimately patients have access to the medicine that they need. I haven't seen all the amendments at this point, but some of the amendments we have concerns with are limiting the number of conditions that patients can get medical marijuana for. We do believe this should be between a doctor and a patient. We have patients in this room today who would not qualify under the restricted terms, and they have been recommended to use medical marijuana. We're also concerned with the fact that caregivers would not be able to access medical marijuana for patients. I actually had a knee operation several months ago. I had my ACL replaced, and when my caregivers brought me home, they took my prescriptions, which were for OxyContin and Percocet, and went to the pharmacy and filled them. The idea that people who are getting a referral for medical marijuana would not be able to do that, that their caregiver could not go and get that for them, and you've seen the very passionate testimony that Diane Ripitella just gave. She can't go to the center herself. The fact that her husband would not be able to do that, I think, is very, very problematic, and I don't think we should treat this any different than we treat any other medication. We also do have concerns in terms of not allowing for home growing. At least if we could have a sunset provision to that section and at least let people do this until the centers are up and running. I'm concerned that we don't know how long it could be for the centers to get up and running, and there's people in this room today depending on this. And if there are no centers or no centers in their area, they will go to the black market as they've been doing, and we certainly don't want them to go to the black market. So to allow for some intermediate step, even if it's not permanent, so that they will have access, because ultimately at the end of the day, this is about these patients. There's lots of medical research. There's lots of statistics out there. 14 other states are doing this successfully. It has overwhelming support among the voters of New Jersey. But at the end of the day, it's about reducing suffering and improving quality of life. Don and Jerry McGrath are here, and I hope they're going to get to speak. Many of you have heard from them before. The first time I ever met Don and Jerry McGrath, they told me the story of losing their son, Sean, when he was 28 years old to a rare form of cancer. When he got his diagnosis when he was 26 years old, they talked to me about how devastated they were and he was, and how hard they tried to do everything they could to help him, to get him the best doctors, to do all the research they could do for him. And they talked about how devastating it was to watch him waste away before their eyes because he could not eat, he could not keep down food, he was constantly nauseous, partly because of the medications he was giving for his condition and partly because of the condition itself. They talked about how relieved they were when he was finally able to eat and put on weight, because he was now using medical marijuana that was recommended by his team of doctors. But his family had to live, and he had to live, with the fear of arrest, the fear of losing their home, Mrs. McGrath losing her nurse's license, Mr. McGrath losing his business. And one time, Mrs. McGrath said to me that Sean looked at her and said to her, "I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry I have to do this to you." This being the only thing that was giving him relief, reducing his pain, and giving him hope. There are spaces.
All right, you're your minute and a half.
Yeah.
And you testified for the McGraths.
Okay.
And testimony we've heard before this committee. We're going to move on. I want to make a point of clarification. The bill has a carrier system in it. We are not forcing people to leave their home if they cannot leave their home to get the bill. That we were very clear on the committee that we and the AG's office and other departments in the government on making sure that that was available to people, because we understand that people are going to be limited in their mobility. And we have in here, my suggestion, that the caregiver rule will be maintained in emergent situations if the courier system doesn't work. So we've taken care of that. We have taken care of the terminal case in this bill. So we're going to move on. Next, we'll bring up Ms. Who's the other group?